Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. It's time to grab your cup of coffee or your tea. Sit back and let's chat about what is happening up in the sky above us for the weekend. Yay, it's Friday. Happy Friday or Fri-yay for all of you out there. And it's going to be a new moon weekend. It is actually astrologically fairly busy. So we actually have a lot to talk about this morning because it's not just the new moon. We have a shifting of Mercury out of Pisces and into Aries. And we have several transits happening at the same time. And a powerful new moon, but deceptively so, right? Deceptively so. It's like not right in your face about how powerful this particular new moon is, but it should be, right? It should be. So today we're going to start off. The moon, of course, right now is still in the sign of Aquarius until, let's see, 5:04 p.m. my time. So that's 8 p.m. tonight for you all on the East Coast. And literally, let's check the void. We are in the void from about 11 o'clock this morning, my time, until the time it changes. So it's not necessarily a great day to start things or to get excited and, you know, start twirling around with different ideas. Maybe twirl about them in your mind, but don't take action on them. When the moon is in the void, we are in sort of a pause. And today is a longer pause than we've had recently, right? Most of the voids recently have been an hour to 2 hours, and this one is going to be much longer. So use the time wisely, right? Clean off your desk, clean out your closet, do things, finish things, take care of the details of something that's already been in the works, but don't worry too much about trying to push your way into getting something done or starting something new. It's Friday after all, right? We're winding down the week and getting ready for the weekend. It's what I like about Fridays. And in this particular case, anyway, things that you might push through and try to start would go nowhere, right? Because there's just not enough energy to push them forward. So take care of the details. Now, speaking of which, I just have to share this because I have just been giddy about this lately. Every year that I can remember, I've always chosen a word. And my word for 2024 was completion. And this is personal. This isn't like from the collective or anything, although there is collective energy of completions, but it was something I kept thinking about that I wanted to finish. I'm really good at starting things, not always so good at getting them all the way down to the finish line. So for example, I had started, oh my gosh, back in 2014, maybe 2013, I started my human design education. And of course, Karen is who I've learned from, Karen Curry Parker. And over time, she has also morphed her programs. And just a couple of years ago, she morphed into the quantum human design. And I decided, well, this is the time I'm really going to go for my certifications. Not because I felt like I was inadequate without them, because obviously I wasn't. I was doing readings and sharing what my knowledge was with everybody. But I just felt like it was time. It was time for me to finish these things. So yesterday I finished the level 3, which was the precursor to me being able to finish the certification in level 4. It's like I did these things out of order. Mostly because I had learned everything in her earlier days and then she changed the program. And so I thought, okay, well, this is my opportunity to come along with the new program. So I finished level 3. I'm on 4. I've already done all the work for 4. I just have to do some of the readings that, you know, will be the like diploma work. I finished finally the guides program for Gene Keys back in February. And I have my soul practitioner, my soul realignment practitioner thing here on the wall. So I hung up all of these things, right? And I still have some more that I want to finish, but I want to just say how good it feels to be doing this, even though I didn't need it. I already knew everything I needed to know. I've been doing all of the work, but somehow just the idea of finishing it felt good or feel continues to feel good. I still have a couple more things I want to finish. I'm also really good at buying products to use with my website or, you know, plugins or things that I want to do and not using them. So I have that to finish this year too. So I'm sure it feels good to me to be able to get all these things done. I hope you too are finding pathways to either complete things that you've started that have been hanging over your head, or whatever word you might have chosen or theme that you might have chosen for 2024, that you're also seeing some headway into getting some things done or completion or starting things that maybe you wanted to start. So here we are now in the waning of the lunar cycle. We are at the very end. We are not quite to the dark of the moon yet, but we are in that really deep waning phase of the previous new moon back in February. The new moon was in Aquarius. So this time of the month anyway has a sort of theme around completions, right? It's just a part of the theme of the time. And also anticipation of what comes next, right? Anticipation, because the new moon occurs on Sunday, the 10th, and it is a day where things begin anew, right? So we'll have that to talk about. But it starts first this morning with a transit of Mercury in a conjunction to transiting Neptune. And both of transiting Mercury and conjuncting Neptune in Pisces, right? So Neptune has been in Pisces. Mercury has been there for a couple of weeks and is actually finishing up his transit, right? Today's the last day that Mercury will be in Pisces. Tomorrow he moves off into Aries. So we get a chance to take a look at, well, what are the Mercury things in Pisces that we are, that should be most connected in our minds and in our hearts and our souls, right? As a collective, right? Not individually, it's going to be a little different for each of us, but collectively, these are some of these themes. And when Mercury conjuncts Neptune, we are influenced by the communication style of Mercury in Pisces, which is more emotional, more maybe flowery, harder to get to the point, perhaps, because we're kind of, you know, watery energy going with the flow of the words. We may have more difficulty in thinking and processing information because it is a water sign that Mercury is in. It's not necessarily its favorite place to be, but that doesn't hinder it so much. It just slows down the whole process. Now, Mercury, of course, represents communication and intellect and reasoning, all of the mental capacities that we think of, information processing, memory recall, data recall, all of that kind of stuff. And it governs how we express ourselves. So our thought processes, how we perceive the world around us, how we perceive what people are saying to us, and how we interpret then the world around us. And Mercury is also associated with learning, all the communications. So writing and teaching and acting and all of that, speaking, and of course, the exchange of ideas. And then Neptune. Neptune is the planet of spirituality, of imagination, of dreams and intuition, and also illusion. Right? Here's the problem. When we have Mercury, a planet of reasoning and logic, that comes up against a planet or comes into connection with a planet that has the potential for illusion, misunderstanding, and even delusion, then we might have some fireworks going on, right? But Neptune, in a big way, can inspire us to compassion and to empathy, and to really cause us to tune into our inner voices. But it can also lead us into confusion, deception, escapism, right? Those are other key words around Neptune. And especially if the energy is not grounded, right? So we have to take steps to ground energy of the mind, energy of the body, energy of the soul in before we can really make great use of this energy. But what it really predominantly brings to us is a heightened sense of sensitivity, and also intuition. And when I say sensitivity, that could be emotional sensitivity, It could be more caution around what we say or how we say what we say. And of course, this is an amplified expression of our intuition. So Neptune is also associated with the subconscious mind. So there could be the possibility of, you know, I want to say voices in your head coming up, but I don't mean that in like an insane sort of way. I mean it like, you know, the voice of reason, the voice of, you know, let's make it the voice of your spirit coming up to help guide you through the times that we're in. Now, the intuition part might also guide us to making decisions, but you have to know that decision making and problem solving can be a little dicey today with Mercury and Neptune in this conjunction. You're blending the best of both, hopefully, but at the same time, there's the potential for the blending of the worst of both. So we got to be very careful about what we do. We might be creatively inspired today. Creative inspiration is huge when Mercury comes into the connection with Neptune like this. Neptune's influence can kind of spark our creative energy, our imagination, give us, you know, the ability to connect with fantasy in some way. And that means that this would be a good time, a good transit to you know, embark on artistic endeavors, doing things that are of a creative nature, you know, writing, music, poetry, any of those kinds of things. Any of that creative work is probably heightened in our ability to see things in a different way. Mercury's influence, of course, adds mental agility to it all, meaning we can think fast, but we are also thinking we're also thinking a little bit slower because we're moving through the imagination, not necessarily through the reasoning and logic sides of things. So that tends to blur boundaries where we're not quite sure what's real, what's not real. Like, I'm not saying you're all insane or we're all going insane today, but because Neptune and Mercury coming together like this can kind of blur the thoughts into the creative, back into the thoughts. And so we might find ourselves waffling back and forth between the creative imaginative part and the mentally reasoning part, which then creates pressure, can scatter our thinking, and then also cause us to do the escapism piece, right? We got to get out of our minds because there's too much going on in our heads kind of thing. So be cautious. Be cautious of information that you're receiving. Be cautious about what you're doing because it's going to have to, we're going to have to strive to contain or to maintain clear communication. I feel it even within me now, trying to be very clear about how I'm saying what I'm saying, but also noting that sometimes the words are kind of lost on me. So it's the day, right? This also is a transit that triggers idealism and compassion. I already said compassion, but we might be more idealistic and be, you know, in the thought processes of how can I help? What's the highest and best of things that what have you? We may have communication challenges. There's just no way around it, right? You're thinking and you're clear. Like I have all my notes. I know exactly what I'm going to say, but my mind is a little gummed up in the Neptunian aspect here. And so it can create some challenges. So we might need to slow down what we're thinking, what we're saying, what we're doing in response to what we're thinking. It's just a day or two, right? It's just a day or two. Now, the highest part of this that I really love, and I want to tap it, have everybody tap into this, is receiving spiritual insights from the soul, from your inner self. And that, you know, Neptune in Pisces has been enhancing that for all of us anyway, over a very long period of time, creating a path for us to be more trustful, more in faith that our inner voices are absolutely correct, teaching us to listen more, to surrender more to our higher selves. So when when Mercury comes into contact here, there could be new thought processes, new ideas, new ways of even communicating that you hadn't thought of before that come through. So be mindful that there's the potential for miscommunication, but also know that you're communicating it with an interface with the divine, and that sometimes that message can get confused, right? We just are kind of leery of that information coming in. So just be slower in how you respond to communication. Other people are impacted by this. It's not just you or me, but everybody. And not everybody understands that there's this astrological thing called Mercury conjunct Neptune that's making it hard to communicate. And it could be, you know, for some people quite frustrating not to be able to get their point across, or to think that they very clearly got their point across only to find out a day or two later that wasn't the case, right? Nobody really understood what they were talking about. So while this is a creatively inspiring kind of day, we also need to stay grounded and to maintain clarity before we speak. If you have something major to say, today might not be the day. Right? You might need to wait for tomorrow with Mercury moving into Aries. That has its own little issues, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Use the day to explore your intuition. What is coming up from your inner dynamic? What's coming up from your intuitive self? Maybe journal. It might be a good day for journaling, right? So now, Saturday. So that's today. And of course, it bleeds over. It likely started yesterday in our, you know, frame of reference of orbs, a degree or so before and then a degree or so after, which translates with Mercury to a day or so before and a day or so after, plus the day. Tomorrow, we have transiting Mercury moving into Aries and still in that conjunction space with Neptune. Neptune is at the very end of Pisces at about 27 degrees, and Mercury will be at 0 degrees of Aries when he first moves in, right? That 0 degrees Aries mark, that still puts it in sort of orb. So now we're kind of seeing, you know, that more spiritual focus of Mercury having just conjuncted Neptune and the movement of that energy into Aries, which is an action-oriented sign, is ruled by Mars, which suggests moving forward, doing something, right? Doing something with said inspiration, right? Doing something with those ideas, taking them out into the world. Don't take them out today, but as Mercury moves through Aries, we start to see what is the action plan that's needed to get us to where we want to go. So there is direct, assertive communication when Mercury moves into Aries, right? It's bold energy. It's direct. They don't pull punches. It's not as blunt, let's say, as Sagittarian energy can be, but Aries is still fire. And so it can be speaking with passion, with conviction, and boldness, right? So that's how our communication turns out to be. This is also quick thinking and decisiveness. So if today it's been difficult to make any decisions, tomorrow begins a 3 or 4 week process of not having that kind of problem. We become very decisive. Aries is a sign anyway that values speed. So patience or impatience could be the problem that we experience with Mercury in Aries. So we want to be careful that we're not gut checking or reactive to things that we hear or things that to ideas. Remember to use your human design authority. If it's emotional, you're waiting for the emotions to click in. If you are splenic, you're using your intuition. If you are sacral, you're using your body. Follow your strategies and your types or your authority so that you're not leaping in and out of things while Mercury is in Aries. This is also a time for independence and individuality. Aries is fiercely independent, right? It's the first sign. It's the I am. It is all about the self. And it also values autonomy and self-reliance, sovereignty. So we're thinking along those lines with Mercury in Aries. And so we're focusing on our individuality, but also our individual communication style, our individual expression, how we put ourselves out there. And people in general during this time might be more inclined to speak what's on their mind, speak their truth, right? To assert their own independence into their communication style. Impatience and restlessness. I wish I could say something different about this, but really, you know, what can I say? We are being activated in a sign by a planet that's thinking very quickly. And so anything that we perceive outside of us that slows us down might cause us to be more impatient or to buck against that, right? To become more restless because, you know, we're trying to get things done and these other things keep popping up that stop us. So people, there may be more frustration with delays and also obstacles. And because we are preferring a quicker approach, it creates more frustration, right? So just be aware. I'm not saying that everything that you try to do is going to be, you know, off the charts in, with obstacles, but it's a potential. So just be wise about what you do. Be responsive rather than reactive to what is happening around you. Aries is known for courage. Mercury, this is courage to think differently, right? To think outside of the box in some ways. It can inspire spontaneity within us, again, only as it relates to your authority and your strategy. We might be more willing and able to make quicker decisions, and we may be more willing and able to speak up. Like if we see an injustice or we see something that's not right, we may be more able and willing to speak up to it, to take bold actions in the face of that, to pursue new opportunities without waiting, right? That's potential here. But it's also the potential for conflict. Conflict because we are hyper invigorated during this period of time. Our minds are. Right. And if you're already someone who has a quick mind, who is easily moving between different topics and, you know, someone who is considered a thinker, so your mind is always thinking, you could become very action oriented during this period of time and make decisions that later you might regret. So we have to be careful while, you know, we want to temper that tendency to be assertive, to leap without looking first. The opposite sign of Aries is Libra. So we do have the potential to bring in, you know, some tempering energy like tact or diplomacy or, you know, the trying to balance things, keeping us away from unnecessary confrontations with people. So just know that, you know, sometimes it's better to walk away from an argument or conflict than it is to get involved in the conflict. So we got to balance those things. You know, the I see something happening and I need to speak to it versus just shut your mouth, right? Walk away. If nothing good is going to come from confronting something, then it's best to just let the conflict slide. So overall, while Mercury is in the sign of Aries, communication becomes more assertive and decisive and action oriented, right? Our minds are quick and we want action. So it's time for quick thinking. It's time for independence. It's time for courage. It's time for spontaneity, expressing yourself, thinking fast. We don't want to get bogged down in too many details when the planet Mercury is in Aries. So we'll have a few weeks worth of the potential for conflicts in communication. We'll just have to deal with it, right? That's just how it goes. So that's on Saturday. And also Saturday, we have another fiery sort of transit. Fiery as in this is about Mars and Uranus coming together in a square. And as you know, a square is a challenging aspect. They come, a square causes obstacles, or we feel obstacles in our way. We feel challenged. We might even feel high motivation to get through something or to get something completed. So when transiting Mars, which is now in Aquarius, comes into a square with transiting Uranus in Taurus, it creates that dynamic and potentially conflicting, volatile aspect pattern between action and aggression and change that is maybe not what we expected. It's like, I want to say it's the change that you didn't know you needed, but you certainly thought you didn't want, but it comes upon you. Okay. So it's potentially volatile. It doesn't have to be. You know, I think the idea behind a Mars and Uranus transit is about being willing, right, to have a heart that's open to change. Taurus doesn't necessarily like change. It's in a comfort zone. And so Uranus in Taurus has already been prompting us to look at our comfort zones and to travel outside of those comfort zones. But the very nature of the sign is, hey, if it's not broke, don't fix it. If I'm comfortable, why should I move? Why should I make a change? And Mars comes along and says, because it's in the effort of moving on into the future. It's in the effort of evolving. It's evolving in consciousness, and it's evolving in who we are as people, individually and collectively. So we got to move. We got to make changes. So it does bring up conflict and tension because of that square. That's a 90-degree angle between planets, and that can, you know, without squares, by the way, you know, sometimes people were like, why do I have to have squares in my chart? Well, you wouldn't probably grow, right? The square prompts us to move and to shake things up and to struggle somewhat. I was listening to a video yesterday about struggle, the very word struggle, kind of like, I mean, I could say that I've been struggling for weeks and months. And so have you probably, right? In some ways in our lives, we're struggling. That did you realize that without struggle, we wouldn't be as smart as we are? Struggle, without the need to try to overcome obstacles or to, you know, work through problems, we become dumb, lazy. So I value struggle now, not while I'm in it, but I value the fact that struggle causes us to move and grow and evolve. Okay. So conflict and tension between the energies, between Mars wanting to take action and Uranus actually in a comfort zone saying, okay, but, you know, let's change. Rebellion and impulsiveness. Yay. Right. So, and I keep thinking about this in the aspect of the USA election, right? We have all of the primaries going on right now. Super Tuesday just passed us in this state. We have our primary next Tuesday. And, you know, last night's State of the Union address and all these things that, you know, are words that then get re-spoken in different ways and can be twisted to mean something, you know, if you're in one party, and twisted the other way to mean something if you're in the other party, and all of us in the middle going, oh my God, what's the truth, right? So I would imagine that this transit could make for an interesting weekend of rhetoric, right? The rhetoric being ramped up by some parties and some people. I also noticed that there was a senator, I can't remember what his name is off the top of my head, but he had said something that was absolutely incorrect. And all of Twitter, or X now as it's called, started turning on him and saying all these things. This is a Mars squaring Uranus and Mercury in the conjunction to Neptune, all rolled into one, right? We've got the aggression, the assertiveness with the, I've, you know, lost my mind temporarily and brought up facts and figures that were wrong, right? So we have to be careful during this period of time. Risk taking and innovation, Mars causes us to push the envelope a bit of where and what we could do, where we can do it, who we can do it with. Innovation, of course, because Uranus is a planet that loves invention and innovation. Sudden events and surprises. I would not put that one past this weekend. So we've just prepared, right? We, expect the unexpected during this particular time. But we can channel this energy constructively, right? While Mars can be in a square with Uranus can be challenging, we can also see opportunities that come for growth and for expansion, for evolving. And it's time for us to constructively use those outlets that are showing up in our lives to move in that new direction. We can use this to test out our flexibility quotient. We can use this to test our adaptability quotient, right? So circumstances can be changing rapidly during this period of time in your personal life. If you have a plan, expect the plan to not be the way you thought it would be. It's kind of the way we do life, right? It happens like this. So we might have to find innovative solutions to problems, to the challenges that show up either in our own personal life or, collectively. And because Taurus is one of the signs involved, we might also need to find a grounded, stable, practical way to make the changes, right? Not just throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Okay. Embrace the change, but just be aware of the potential risks that are involved, right? There's always risk in change. So we've got people at one end that might be risking it all and changing too far too fast without really any grounding. And on the other hand, we have people who are scared to change. These are the two extremes. Too scared to change that say stuck because, why should I move? And we got to come to the middle, right? We have to make conscious choices about what we get into or out of. All right. Now we also have Sun getting involved with Uranus this weekend. And that is much more peaceful, a peaceable connection with Uranus. And that is the Sun in a sextile to Uranus. So the Sun's in Pisces, Uranus in Taurus, and that forms a sextile, which is a harmonizing feature, right? Or a harmonizing aspect between the planets. So we have the harmonious flow of energy between the Sun, the bright light of our lives, right? The core essence of who we are, our vitality and our consciousness. And our consciousness right now altogether is in Pisces. Even though you may be a Sun in Gemini or a Sun in Taurus, right now the Sun's core energy is revitalizing Piscean themes, intuition, creativity, imagination. And then transiting Uranus and Taurus, right? We've already talked a lot about that. So we have this harmonious flow of energy between the Sun and Uranus that helps us to align with our intuition, with what is the most compassionate thing that we can do or say. It is forward thinking with Uranus involved here, innovative with the Sun in Pisces, imagination ruling here. We have creative inspiration and original thinking, being unique, right? Marching to the beat of your own drum. We can embrace change and adaptability with this kind of transit. We might have sudden opportunities or sudden surprises. So be prepared, right? That knock at the door where, your long lost friend shows up at your doorstep. Whoa, right? Harnessing intuition and insight is another big deal with the Sun in the sextile to Uranus. But it signifies mostly positive change. This is the smoothing out of the square between Mars and Uranus. So the smoothing out here. It's a time of positive change, of creative inspiration, innovation. It's favorable for us to embrace the new. So I find this often on a day where I'm talking about something that's very tricky, that's also being mitigated by something that's more smooth. And here we have a classic example of that, right? So it's not all a total crap show. Trying to keep it clean, right? So it's positive, it's maybe even optimistic in some ways, you know, that sometimes we just are really embracing change, but we also need to be tempered with grounded reality, practicality over this weekend. So let's say good morning to everybody who's showing up here. I saw J-Lo first off this morning. Happy Friday to you. Hi, Patty. It's good to have you with us. Tom, howdy, he says. Pam Zaruba, hello to you. Patty, prepping for DST this Sunday. Oh, yes, time change. Sunday. Yikes. Terry Strauss, good morning to you. Christine Buckingham, hello. Julie, good to see you. Jana, hello to you. Nargis, good morning. Debbie, good to have you with us. Asa, nice to see you out there. Thank you very much, Jana. Terry says, stay off the phone. I'm zipping my mouth. Good plan. Or opening your mouth judiciously. Not judgmentally, but judiciously. Different word altogether. Christine says, like a baby learning how to walk and talk. There's that, right? There's that. Leslie, good morning to you. She says, grand rising from snowy Colorado. Thankfully, the snow has passed us now. But the rain come back. Oh, well. Christine says, I'll take the harmonious energy for my birthday tomorrow and dinner with my siblings. Happy birthday to you, Christine. May the sun grace you with wonderful things, joyfulness, prosperity in the year ahead. Tom W., happy birthday, Christine. And that's all of the comments for now. So if anybody has questions about anything that we've been talking about this morning, go ahead and put those in the comments down below. I'm now going to transition over to the new moon, which is, of course, the biggest news for the weekend. You thought all the other things were big news, but this is a big news because the new moon is always the time of a new beginning. Right, for us to set intentions and for us to really tap into the implications of what it is that we desire in our lives and how do we get there, right? Jana out there, you used to always do manifesting intentions with the new moon because it's that important, right? It's a part of the cycle that we look forward to in the moon to trigger an opportunity for us to create something new, right? It's the big new thing. And the new moon in Pisces is occurring in a kind of interesting way, if I can show you this. So I've highlighted in orange here the sun and the moon, both at 20 degrees, 17 minutes, can't read that. And they're sandwiched there between Saturn in Pisces on the left and Neptune in Pisces on the right. So we have a sandwiched new moon. And I was kind of intrigued by that. So I had to go looking for, well, what does that mean? Right. So we have in astrology, we often talk about planets that are on either side, let's say, of your sun as being hidden by the glare of the sun. Right. Sometimes we talk about, let's say you have a Saturn and it's couched between Venus and Jupiter, then we have protective energies that are around Saturn. And we see that, I'm not sure if it's Venus and Jupiter, but this happens in Trump's chart, where a lot of the times even his bad behavior gets glossed over because he's being protected by Venus on one side, and I think it is Jupiter on the other side of his Saturn, right? So rather than having to pay the karmic price, it gets put off until later, right? So planets that fall in between something major like a new moon, or planets that are on either side of the new moon, can play an important role. So I really wanted to break that down. So we know the new moon in Pisces is really going to mark the beginning of the cycle of creativity. This is a water sign. It is highly imaginative, intuitive, instinctual, and spiritual, right? It's a highly spiritual placement for the sun to be. It really calls our attention to our core being spirit. Right. And then that brings up a host of things around trusting in our higher selves, listening to our intuition, having faith, right? Self-worth and those kinds of things also kind of get rolled up into that energy. It is a period of time when the sun is in Pisces where we're encouraged to really look within, to be more introspective, to engage in emotional healing, physical healing. It is a very healing sign. Tap into our subconscious minds, the patterns that are holding us down or holding us back. And then Saturn in Pisces, representing structure, discipline, form, responsibility, all of that. But we're blending that with the Piscean qualities of imagination and dreaminess, right? It's not Saturn's favorite place to be. It's not, Pisces is boundarylessness, and Saturn appreciates boundaries. In fact, kind of demands boundaries. So we have a sense of constriction or limitation, perhaps, in those Piscean themes of, in other words, Saturn is like the limiter of our going too far, too fast into the imagination or the creative realm, right? He kind of pulls us back a little bit and says, okay, is that grounded in reality? Can you really do that? Is that really in your wheelhouse? Is that correct for you, right? Saturn kind of bringing back to reality some of that imagination, creativity, energy, not as a way to harm us or hurt us or hold us back and, you know, saying, oh no, you can't have that, but is it real? Can you really do it? Can you make it real, right? And then Neptune in Pisces. Neptune in Pisces has the most power here because it is his ruling territory. And Neptune creates the dynamic tension here between with Saturn on the other side, holding the tension between structure and dissolution, which is Neptune, reality and fantasy, Saturn and Neptune, discipline and surrender. So it's kind of interesting. So now that, so we're putting, you know, this on the bracket, these are the brackets, the parentheses to the new moon. So now we're balancing dreams with reality. It's great to have a dream, right? We have to push and pull between idealism and realism. We can't be all Pollyanna all the time, right? We have to have the ideal of the world, but we also have to know that it comes right down to, can we do it? Is it real? Is that realistic? You know, can we really create that? Maybe not yet. It doesn't mean that we'll never be able to have that or create that. It just means, is that real right now? So we have to balance in your intention setting then for the new moon. You're sandwiched between reality of Saturn and the dreaminess of Neptune. So bring your dreams, yes, but you also have to bring maybe some realism to it as well. On one side, we have spiritual growth, and on the other side, we have discipline, right? Spiritual growth comes from having a spiritual discipline, right? A spiritual discipline can mean that you're deepening your connection to yourself, or your spirit, your higher self, your soul, your higher consciousness, but it also requires the commitment to the practice, right? You can't be mad because you can't hear your higher self when you've only just tried to do that today for the first time ever in your life. You have to have a discipline around spirituality. Saturn is always going to emphasize the structure and the form and the perseverance and endurance, right? The keep practicing, that practicing makes perfect. While Neptune, on the other hand, is saying, hey, it's there. Your higher spirit is calling to you. So we have that. We're navigating illusions, Neptune, and boundaries on the other side, Saturn. So our new moon intentions have to be bounded by both. Neptune's influence is pretty strong because he's the ruler in this sign. Okay, so what we have to do is be very clear about what it is that we want to create. What is our intuition speaking to us about? And what is your subconscious patterning? If you don't tap into the subconscious pattern, it can absolutely undo all of your best intentions. Because if your subconscious is continually railing at you about how not good you are, while your intention is to be the best you can be, there's going to be a mixed bag of success there. You've got to work through the subconscious patterns. So Saturn's presence here helps us to, encourages us even to have boundaries, discerning what is real from merely wishful thinking. right? Neptune is more of the wishful thinking and the intention setting of the new moon, but Saturn's like, is this really something that is possible? Is this something that you even want? Right? How much of what you're saying you want to create at the new moon is driven by outside of you, right? What other people think you should want. So we get to look at that. Emotional healing and surrender. The new moon in Pisces between Saturn and Neptune here can facilitate our emotional healing. It's deeply healing. It's therapeutic even. It's releasing, right? We're releasing the old. But it can also bring up those deep-seated fears that we have, or the insecurities, the things that, you know, bother us in the night, right? The worries and all of that. So surrendering to the process of allowing those things to come up, because there's insights there, and just to allow them to flow out, right? That's maintaining your self-discipline and your own, cleaning up your own spiritual closet, if you will, and staying clear. So we're being invited, actually, with this new moon to navigate that balance between what's real, Saturn, and what's ideal, Neptune. We live right there in the middle of it, really. So between dreams and reality, between spirituality and discipline, and surrender and structure, right? It's time for that deep introspection with this new moon. It's emotionally healing, as I said, and aligning your own creative actions with your highest ideals. If you're trying to create something that doesn't align with your truth or your values, you're using this energy incorrectly, and then Saturn is likely to slap you down somewhere. So it's a good new moon. It really is. It's a good new moon for really getting clarity about what you want. And is this real? And does this make sense? And can I take practical action in that direction without going all creative, you know, imagination and no bite, no nothing, no steps, right? So it's kind of cool. Now, with this new moon, because, you know, you can't just have the new moon sandwiched between Saturn and Neptune. We also have a semi-sextile to Mars on one side and a semi-sextile to Uranus on the other side of the conglomeration that we just were talking about. So remember, a semi-sextile is a 30-degree relationship between the planets or the signs. And signs that are neighboring to one another don't necessarily see each other clearly. So Mars in Aquarius is not necessarily seeing Pisces energy, the Sun, Saturn, Neptune, Moon, in the same way. So they have to have a spirit of cooperation here. So your Martian actions that move you forward have to be in a cooperative with the energies of creativity, imagination, but structure and form and realism. Okay, so that works too. Then on the other side, we have Uranus and Taurus, also in, this one's a sextile, so a harmonious connection. We just talked about harmonious connections. And the sextile making it easy for us to change, easier for us to change perhaps than usual. Especially if you're someone that is not as easy, that change doesn't come as easy for you. And then we also have another semi-sextile, but this time with Chiron. So the potential for a lot of healing coming in when we really validate our identity. Remember, he is in Aries, and our identity, who we are, the I am presence, which is different for each one of us. Each one of us are holding a slice of the divine and have a specific role or gifts to share or a song to sing. And Chiron here healing that I am presence so that we can do that during this period of time. It's kind of a unique setup. But we have, you know, another one, another biggie, and that is transiting Mercury as he moves into Aries forms a sextile with Pluto sitting newly in Aquarius. And this can create a configuration for us of deep insights with this new moon, powerful communication, coming up, right? It can be self-communication where you're communicating with your higher self, but it can also be communication between you and others that really facilitates those kinds of insights and transformational thinking, right? Moving us ahead with the thought processes. So transiting Mercury in Aries, remember, is about the communication and intellect that is speeded up somewhat and bolder, being more willing to take action. And transiting Pluto in Aquarius, remember, is associated with the transformation of power, the depth of the unconscious mind and the things that are coming up for us as a people. It is a future orientation that is inspired with innovation and inventiveness, evolutionary impulses, that type of thing, societal change, right? So now we have these two coming together that give us kind of a heightened perception, right? The ability, insightfulness is another word that I want to think of here. And it's our ability to perceive the hidden truths, to uncover the deeper layers of our psyche or of our consciousness, which can facilitate these, you know, profound insights that we might have. The ahas, the epiphanies. This week, the sun is at gate 22, the earth at gate 47. The earth at 47 is the gate of epiphany. The aha, right? I'm no longer confused because I have this aha moment. So all of this coming together to help us see or perceive what to do next or what goes on next. But also, I want to talk to this about, I have a couple minutes here. I want to talk about hidden motivations for a moment. I stumbled across this in my own life just recently, where I find myself saying what I want, but underneath it was a different motivation, right? A different motivation. And that's not, it's not that that's wrong. It's not wrong. It's just more like the light bulb went on. Oh my gosh, if I'm motivated by this over here, then why in the bleep am I going over there? Right? So we get this like brilliant moment, genius moment of wake up. And if we uncover the hidden motivation, then we know, are we going in the right way? Right? If you're motivated by good health, let's say that's your motivation, and it might be hidden from you that that's what's motivating you, but that your lifestyle is putting you in the way of not health, the hidden motivation comes up and goes, whoa, time to course correct, right? I need to move in this direction. So that's activated during this new moon as well. So it may be, you know, coming into your mind that, like, on some level, you've been motivated by something that you have not been paying attention to. Unconsciously, maybe you have. But if that hidden motivation is, like I said, completely different from what your stated motivation is, then you're at cross purposes. And no wonder we're not getting where we want to go or getting what we want in our lives. We have to be super clear. And this new moon with Mercury in Aries in a sextile to Pluto in Aquarius can help us get there. We have that heightened perception, the light bulb moments, right? This also gives us more access to persuasive communication, right? Being able to get our point across more clearly and to, if we need to, be persuasive to sell somebody an idea, to sell somebody a product, whatever that is. We have the power of communication to get us to where we need to be. Empowerment through knowledge. Mercury in Aries, Mercury in general, seeks knowledge, wisdom, right? Info. And in this connection to Pluto, it's the digging deeper, right? For the deeper knowledge. I want to know what's the deeper motivation, perhaps. I want to know the deeper historical context of what this means for me. Whatever it is, right? Just going deeper. This would be a great time, that this new moon, for strategic planning and thinking. I mean, you can't have a better strategist on your side than Mercury and Pluto, right? They are a super duo when it comes to that. Because, you know, it adds strategy to our intentions, right? Right. You have this intention, and this is what I want to create this month with the new moon. And now I'm going to write it down in a plan. I'm going to take steps, right? I'm going to strategize the actions that I want to take to get to where I want to go. Okay. Strategy. And of course, we're tapping into inner resources of power and wisdom to be able to do that, to plan and strategize. And of course, this is embracing change, transformation. Again, there's very little going on in the stars above us right now that doesn't indicate some kind of change and transformation taking place. It's really about evolution. And I'm pretty sure this is, you know, we're headed to that solar plexus mutation in 2027. But it's like anything else, change doesn't just happen overnight. Right? Big changes don't happen overnight. It just, you know, it can. We can have evolutionary leaps. But what I think we're seeing right now is this energy of shifting and changing and forcing us to be more adaptable, like the world looking so wonky, because we're at the end of an age, if you will, and the beginning of another one. It's not quite clear that we're there yet, because we're still in the destruction, if you will, phase of what's come before. And so it's kind of forcing us all to change and transform our personal lives to come into alignment with this new energy of what I would call emotional alignment, using the emotional center correctly. And someday we'll have another conversation about that specifically. But, you know, looking up at all of the transits lately, they're all change, transformation, pivoting, letting go, moving in a new direction, changing our perceptions. And that's likely because we're, you know, staring down the last few years before that solar plexus mutation. And that's kind of part astrological, but very much human design. So it's all coming up. Now, overall, the sextile then between Mercury and Pluto is a very positive, I think. It's transformational. It is helpful in our ability to communicate and strategize, to create a plan, to create our intentions, right? To get to our intentions. It's a favorable period for delving into the depths of your own mind and to your own unconsciousness, uncovering hidden truths, right? It goes right along with that. And then all of that in service of helping us to initiate positive change, both personally and collectively, right? So all the craziness has a reason. It's all going somewhere. And it's not a bad thing. All right. That is it for me for information. And let's see, any other questions? Jana says, I see this new moon as Saturn and Neptune anchoring structure and intuition. That's lovely. I love that, Jana. Leilani, hello to you. J-Lo, my PC just decided to reboot on its own while I was transferring files. Oh, no. Hopefully it picks up where you left off. And LS, good morning to you. And definitely the replay will be available. I'm looking to make sure I didn't miss any questions. I don't think I did. So let's pull a card, shall we, for the weekend and for the new moon. We'll maybe pull two. And let's see here, who pops out at me? I think a dragon pops out at me. You know, they're masters of change. And okay, I'm going to go with the wisdom of the oracle too. So two decks here, dragon oracle, which I use quite a bit. I love my dragon cards. They are by Diana Cooper. She is the creator of the dragon deck, and Colette Baron Reed, the creator of the wisdom of the oracle deck. So we're going to pull the wisdom of the oracle first. Let's see what we need to be wise to, and then we'll pull the dragon that tells us how to be wise to. Shall we? Hey, this one just threw out of the deck, and it is the card called Exchanging Gifts. It is a beautiful card, right? Card 27, so it's a 9 energy. And let's see what this one means for us. Card 27. Okay. Oh, that's 28. Okay. The essential meaning of this card is the law of giving and receiving, the currency, trade-offs, weighing costs, and determining value. Here's the Oracle's message. You're entering into a productive and enriching time when all manner of opportunities are being offered to you. You have everything you need to seize them. Yet in order to honor them, you must put in the time, exchange your experience and skills, and commit heart and soul to what you're choosing to pursue. You can do it. You have what it takes to be successful if you align with the law of giving and receiving. You must engage in a dance of give and take, push and pull, doing and belonging, right? All of this reminds me of that new moon sandwiched between Saturn and Neptune. If you let fear guide your choices, you could deplete yourself or create an imbalance. This is not a time of just do, do, do. Use your currency wisely and be mindful of the value others bring to your life. I like that card. The law of giving and receiving, exchanging gifts. All right, let's see which dragon goes along with us on this ride. Ooh, they're sticking together. Gold and silver, violet flame, dragon transmutes the old around you with wisdom and grace. It says it's time for transmutation, magic, and healing. Offer service under grace. Is that what that says? Wow. That uses a lot of our key words for the weekend, right? Gold and silver, violet flame, dragon. Let's take a look at the meaning of this dragon. First, I got to see what dimension he comes from or she comes from. Gold and silver. It is a, wow, where are you? Ah, it is a fifth dimensional dragon. Okay, so page 42. I'm excited because I don't think we've had this one before. Okay. Golden, silver, violet, flame, dragon says, fifth dimensional golden, silver, violet, flame, dragons are powerful alchemists. When they come to us, they transmute the old and allow magic and wonder to be revealed in its place. These glorious dragons work with Archangel Zadkiel and Saint Germain, the Lord of Civilization, and automatically link us to them when we call them in. Saint Germain was a great magician and dragon master. When we speak his name, a great light touches us. Archangel Zadkiel, too, illuminates us and the dragons when we call him in. The dragons then surround us in gold, silver, and violet flames of wisdom, grace, and transmutation. That's funny because the new moon is sitting at the gate 22, the gate of grace. How fun, right? I didn't even get a chance to mention that. The violet flames transmute the old and raise the frequency to a higher level. The silver ones bring in divine feminine grace, and the gold ones saturate us with wisdom. And here's our guidance. This card suggests it is time to let go of an aspect of your life that is no longer serving you. Ask the gold and silver violet flame dragons to clear the thought of it totally from your energy fields. Sense or feel them etherically burning up the old. Then ask them to replace it with new and joyful possibilities that come to you at a higher frequency. When you connect with these dragons, you have a wonderful opportunity for service work. You can send them under the law of grace to any person or place that needs transformation. Remember, you will also be working with Saint Germain and Archangel Zadkiel, who will illuminate you. So take a few moments now to direct these dragons to heal people, places, and situations around the world. Whoa, we could really use this dragon right now. Golden, silver, violet flame dragon. Love it. All right, everybody. That is it for me today. Have a blessed weekend. Remember, it's the new moon on Sunday. Did I tell you what time? Boom, boom. Forgot about that. The time, 5 a.m. East Coast time, right? And that will be, oh yeah, I forgot about this because the time changes. We weren't sure if it's 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. on the West Coast. My calendar says 1 a.m. Just, we're sleeping anyway. So set your intentions after you get up in the morning, because then for sure you know you're in the new moon. Wise words. All right, everybody, take care. I will see you on Monday. Bye for now.
Do you wish you could better understand yourself and what is going on in the world? Well, grab your cup of coffee or tea and join the podcast Living Astrology with Janet Hickox for Astrology, Human Design, and Jean Key's Wisdom. Mondays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Podcasts are available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and your other favorite outlets.